This edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is sponsored by Radio KSCR, variety radio at its best. 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. Diamond Disc Audio, professional mastering at any budget. And Capacity Productions, the number one source in online promotions. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best, spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com. Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years' experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at CapacityProductions.net. Put your finger on the pulse of the music industry. You want a team to promote your music? Then look no further than 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. So get connected and gain exposure to the masses. You've got a career to get started. 3000 Records. Visit us at 3000records.com.
Diamond Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top-quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
You're listening to Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired gives it up for the Tiger Club and their brand new CD, Mephisto Island. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by.
Blue jeans, Steve McQueen, prettiest boy I've ever seen. See him shake on the movie screen, Jimmy Dean.
Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today we're giving it up for the Tiger Club and their brand new CD, Mephisto Island. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Baxter Robertson of the Tiger Club regarding the new release, and you're going to hear that interview in just a few minutes. But first, from their album Mephisto Island, here is the Tiger Club with Showdown at Mezcal Flats.
Thank you.
That was the Tiger Club with Showdown at Mezcal Flats. Check out the Tiger Club at their official website, tigerclubband.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Baxter Robertson of the Tiger Club regarding the new release, and here's how the interview went.
Mephisto Island is, you know, God, it's like a Quentin Tarantino soundtrack playing, you know, in my mind. I love it. You know, I don't know.
It would be love for Quentin to use any or all of it in some of his movies.
I think that's kind of what I'm going for.
Well, unfortunately, he's come out as, like, you know, he's putting a cap on his what he's going to be doing directorially, I guess.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that was, I don't know what the exact, but my wife was telling me that he had announced that he was going to only direct a few more and then leave it to the young folks, so.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too, and very sort of magnanimous of him, just, you know, because I'm a teacher of young composers, and I sort of recognize that and try to, you know, encourage them and understand that, you know, my you know, trying to grab on to relevance as you get through your career or keep it, I guess I should say, is, you know, is well and good, but understanding that the younger, you know, people coming up really need room.
Right.
They need bandwidth, I guess, is sort of the what I'm saying in a way.
I see. Well, you know, he may be on the way up, but someone's coming up, and there's always an imitator, and maybe they could take advantage.
Yeah.
Of the sounds that you've got, that you've captured here, you know. It's
well,
a fantastic, yeah, it's a fantastic listen.
It.
And now that it's out there, you know, how do you feel about the finished work now that it's behind you and out there for people to listen to?
Oh, gee, I think it's great. I couldn't be more thrilled. I mean, I had, we had done a first record which was, you know, done on a you know, sort of a wing and a prayer. And my good friend Cal Ball is, you know, who is he's the record company, so to speak, and he, you know, he had partnered up with me. He said, you know, we really need to continue this and do another record, but do it right, you know, for lack of a better, you know, description. And he's a wonderful engineer and producer. I've worked with him a long time on all kinds of stuff. And so we sort of set about this a few years ago. The Mephisto was a long time in the making. I had some of the material written as far back as maybe 07 or 08, right after, like, I had done the first project with the Tiger Club, I kept writing in that vein. I thought I did enjoy the project, and I thought I was on to something, and so did he. And so I just did, you know, little by little, I started to write towards that theme of sort of adventure, intrigue, you know, international adventure, you know, all that stuff, the stuff that sort of makes up the ambience of Mephisto Island. And, you know, as I wrote the last material, you know, for the, I guess, the newest stuff, which would include Green Goddess and Lair of Dr. Mabuse, I was really writing it toward the album itself, you know, and I just felt, you know, we had great musicians. Cal provided, we both worked on the production of it, and, you know, organized the production from start to finish, which was no mean feat, because, as, you know, our little blurb says, we got 30 musicians sort of off and on in this project. So I think on that record there's 25 total, and, you know, just it was, you know, wrangling cats and, you know, that kind of thing. But we worked in a great studio, and that was a wonderful experience, and we offered that experience to our musicians. We wanted them to have a really great environment to work in, so the studio itself was very comfortable and had great equipment. And, you know, I just felt all the way through that this was going to be, you know, something really special. And we took a long time to mix. Cal mixed it on the back end with my approvals and so forth. And, you know, that as we guided it towards its mastering, we had Bernie Grundman do the mastering on it. And he, you know, is a legendary master engineer. And Cal was very cool. He insisted that we get it mastered by the best because we knew, you know, that it sounded really good. So why not, you know, go all the way with the mastering, have it finished as a real audiophile type thing. I'm not an audiophile, you know. I'm happy listening to the CD, but as it turns out, you know, and Cal insisted that we do. Let's do vinyl. And I'm like, are you sure you want to do vinyl? Yeah. Let's do vinyl because there's going to be people out there that are going to really enjoy this on vinyl. So, you know, we did that, and now I'm really, really glad we did because I heard it on vinyl, and it's just really great.
It belongs on vinyl, I think.
so you know, short answer to your question is I'm thrilled now that it's out there because I think it really, for the first time, offers the best and most comprehensive representation of my project or my vision for the project and for on behalf of the rest of the guys for whom I've written this or, you know, who participated in it. Because, yeah, I enjoy the, you know, there's certainly a big vanity portion of this, but the real reason that I started this project a long time ago was to, you know, have a project that I could participate with all my really talented musician friends and do something that was kind of timeless so that we could have, you know, all different ages in the band, young and old, or whoever we have at whatever time, and, you know, they read the charts, you know, have a good time. That's the main thing. Have a good time, and we've done plenty of gigs, and if the guys and gals didn't keep coming up to me after a gig and saying, God, that was fun. That was so fun. If they didn't say that, I probably wouldn't keep doing it, you know, but it's that kind of feedback when you, you know, I think it has a lot to do with intent, you know, when you intend to do something that's going to be really fun for everybody and it pays off, then it just, you know, sort of, you know, expands, there's an expansion into a greater thing, and you just want to keep that going, or find new avenues for it. And Mephisto Island, I think this phone call is, you know, sort of a case in point where it's opening a few doors because people listen to it and go, oh, okay, there is this thing, and it's pretty good. Whereas, you know, we wouldn't necessarily have had that opportunity or the audience before. So I'm thrilled with all that.
I see. And, you know, I talked a little earlier about, you know, scoring, but is that something that's ever crossed your mind, doing the kind of music you do? I mean, if you've looked at my website, it's pretty much straight ahead rock and roll, straight ahead alternative. This is something very different for us that we cover. So tell me, I mean, was scoring something that ever crossed your mind, or was this just like a sort of a vanity thing, as you say?
Well, it's, you know, we're in a business, you know, in the music business, where there are a lot of people who aim at doing, you know, some kinds of jobs for whom there are only a few slots. And scoring is well within my capability. I've been composing for a long, long time, and for whatever reason, those kinds of opportunities, connections, or you know, networking have not, you know, been, you know, haven't given me opportunities like that. So when I decided, as I said quite a while ago, to do this project, there were a couple of things involved. Scoring was sort of part of it, only in the sense of, perhaps I can write some instrumental music that would be used, you know, in things, because I'm a commercial writer. I don't pretend to be an artist, you know. I'm a craftsman. So if I do a project, A, I want it to be fun. B, I want it to be, you know, something that's commercial. C, I want it to be something I can do live, no matter, you know, when it takes place and who I'm doing it with. And so it was a group of considerations that kind of led me to write it. But always, certainly, there's a, you know, the business angle in my head. So, you know, yeah, scoring would be great, you know. And I teach kids who are who do scoring. I mean, in a sense, I teach scoring. You know, I teach orchestration, composition, especially composition for visual media. So it's not like I'm not sort of in that all the time. But yeah, so this is the project that I certainly would hope would garner some more work, and scoring would be fabulous.
Check out the band at their official website, www.tigerclubband.com. From the album Mephisto Island, here is the Tiger Club once again with Green Goddess. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to announce the rockwired.com Artist of the Month, Jane Badler, and her new album, Opus. For the past 6 years, Badler has been on a musical journey that has taken her from artfully understated beginnings to the state-of-the-art electropop that could be heard on her bold new release, featuring the tracks Volcano Boy and Losing You. Opus. The exhilarating new album from Jane Badler, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit Jane at janebadler.com. Ever get a feeling there's nothing on the radio? Then tune in to Radio KSCR. KSCR Radio is variety radio at its best, spinning the best in rap, rock, R&B, alternative, and electro. Experience what you've been missing. Tune in and turn yourself on to great music. Visit us at RadioKSCR.com.
Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top-quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years' experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at capacityproductions.net. Passionate, fearless, innovative. Gorgeous Media is an award-winning firm specializing in artist development, branding, creative consultation, event planning, music supervision, publicity, and talent management for all areas of the entertainment industry, from music, film, fashion, theater, and art. To schedule a free consultation, email us at info@gorgeousmediagroup.com or call us at 323-782-9000. That number again is 323-782-9000. Without a doubt, the future is looking gorgeous. Visit us at gorgeousmediagroup.com. Put your finger on the pulse of the music industry. You want a team to promote your music? Then look no further than 3000 Records, where promoting independent musicians, bands, and record labels is the name of the game. So get connected and gain exposure to the masses. You've got a career to get started. 3000 Records. Visit us at 3000records.com. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for the Tiger Club and their brand new CD, Mephisto Island. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Baxter Robertson of the Tiger Club regarding the new release, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And talk about how music got started for you. I mean, what sort of music got your ear in the very beginning? I mean, listening to Mephisto Island, I can make some assumptions, but I'd rather hear it from you.
It's just maybe it's interesting to me only, but I was trying to explain this a few years ago to somebody, and I was giving it some thought because I am of the generation of the late 60s, the first and second British invasions. And certainly, with early 70s, you have glam rock, and I mean, I was just obsessed with music, and I was in bands. All of them were rock bands. I got signed to I'm just giving you a brief history because I'm going to go back before that, but eventually I, was led to do my own band and showcase in L.A. with what I called nervous 80s pop music, or new, sort of L.A. new wave, if you want. And I got signed to RCA in 83. I did two records for them.
Same label as Eurythmics.
Yes, they were my label mate.
Yes.
Mr. was my label mate. And Bruce Hornsey was signed by the same wonderful gentleman, Paul Atkinson, who is now deceased. Paul was the guitar player in the Zombies, and they were heroes of mine. And to be signed by an A&R man who was literally a hero of mine, or certainly in my hero band, that was a thrill. But anyway, I did a few records for them, and then I also got signed later on to Atlantic and did an LP for Atlantic in '88. So all of my career was more as a songwriter, band leader, and artist, certainly a performer as well, because all that, you're trying to get out and tour and play live and all that, which we did. But I was thinking about, well, why does the music that I'm writing for Mephisto, how am I able to do that? Why? And I realized that when you asked me this question, it's like, when did it start? Well, it's your obsession or your enjoyment of music is certainly before, it comes before your obsession. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, my sister was watching American Bandstand when she was like 12 or even maybe a little earlier, doing the bop and dance party over, it was a local show here and so forth, and listening to AM radio. And so things, you know, my parents listened to music, and so music was around. And what you had then, as I was sort of pre-obsession era, where you're just like, you're a little kid, and you're hearing things from your mom's kitchen radio, and these are the kinds of things that I would hear, you know, Sinatra, early bossa nova, you know, Girl from Ipanema, Esquivel, Ima Sumac, some of these things are now kitchen martini lounge type acts. Or things that people remember, those were things that were like fresh, you know, groovy bachelor pad music from the late 50s, early 60s. All that was roiling around, and I also played in big bands when I was very young, you know, where you're doing very schmaltzy, grown-up music, but you're having a great time because you're with a group of kids. And all of this before I actually started playing in bands, you know, and stuff. So then I realized, oh shit! I mean, I was listening to all this stuff even, you know, when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, and it's in your subconscious, and I love it, you know, because I understand it now. I understand the sort of maturity of it, and the notion of instrumental pop and the wide variety of what I would call, say, non, you know. One reviewer actually labeled it as jazz, but it's an alternative to jazz. You know, Henry Mancini is probably like the, you know, the top guy in that area with jazz influences, but really is working on songs with melodies, you know, instrumental songs with melodies, and so that's sort of what I set out to do, and hopefully I did something right.
And, are there any plans to make sort of, you know, videos to accompany some of these songs? Because listening to them, you know, I mean...
Yeah, if you go on our website there, and you click on the video tab, you can see some videos we've done of these tunes, you know, which are sort of kind of quick-cut entertainment-type videos. My dear friend Gary put them together for us, and that gives you a flavor of, and the videos are sort of dual purpose. They're certainly meant to entertain and be fun, but they're also a statement to music supervisors and people at large, saying, see what this music looks like with visuals, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a kind of a calling card, if you will.
And you said you spoke earlier about, you know, doing live performances. How are live performances done of this music? Do you have like a full, like 25 people on stage?
We essentially we may eschew a few tunes that may be like problematic. Certainly, tunes that would require many horns and strings as well, or we would rearrange them for a smaller complement of guys. But generally speaking, the live Tiger Club act is somewhere between 9 and 11 people. It's a full rhythm section, just usually with multiple guitars. So, I mean, you know, keyboards, bass, drums, the usual rhythm section and some extra guitar or stuff. And sometimes an extra keyboard player. And then no fewer than 3 horns to really get a nice, pretty fat sound. And when we play live, people who are familiar with the instrumental music are treated certainly to the performances of those tunes, but also we do lots of vocals, which are pretty unexpected, because we have some great singers in the band, and we do lots of cover tunes, which are real unexpected. Like, do a ska version of "Burning for You" by Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh wow!
We'll pull out "Mellow Yellow" by Donovan with the horns and pull that off. We do "In Crowd," which is my own arrangement with horns. It's sort of a, it's not quite as crappy as the Dobby Gray version, So these are the kinds of things we'll pull out, and generally it's about almost half and half, you know, because I found a few years ago when I was, doing just instrumentals really sets a nice tone. The function of certain gigs that you're hired for, doing instrumental music, it makes total sense. You know, it wouldn't make sense to do any vocals. But then other kinds of gigs, which are showcase gigs, and I'm thinking primarily of this great place to play in L.A. called The Mint, where we have teams and also business people like music supervisors, people in the industry, both music and film and TV industry, and we have them down to see us. Well, it really makes for a good show to have all kinds of things happening, what we call an active stage or a moving stage, where you'll see a Tiger Club instrumental, hopefully, and be impressed by it, and then we'll have a gal come up and sing a song with us, or I'll sing a song, or Cal will sing a song, or we do three-part harmony on stuff. So, we're trying to switch it up. It's essentially like the best, I hate to use this analogy because I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but if the best of what Lawrence Welk did with live TV is sort of what that's my benchmark for how to do the Tiger Club show, because you want it to keep moving, because a live show is completely different than an audio piece of work, like an album or a CD or something. Live is completely different. You want to keep it moving. You got to keep people interested and engaged, and you want to keep the vibe. Is it retro? Yeah. What satisfies the Tiger Club vibe for any piece of material that we would do live? And, it's got to be in that atmosphere. Not necessarily the Mephisto Island atmosphere, but just general, because Mephisto is like, pretty specific to that area of it. But live is a completely different animal, and, we love playing live because I think people are generally surprised at the quality and the variety of what they see.
And what would you like people to come away with after they hear this album?
It's kind of the same thing as how I want to have them to feel when they came away from seeing the show, that they really had a good time, that they were engaged, there was depth to it, there was depth to the content, but the bottom line that you want them to come away feeling lighter, perhaps, than they came in. So something that makes you feel good afterwards, or perhaps even cleansed. Live performances. I generally talk about how sometimes you'll go see a great artist. And as a musician, you'll come away feeling depressed because you can't achieve that, or it's something that's out of your reach. And I usually reference an artist like Pat Metheny. I don't know if you've ever seen him live, but certain artists, when you go see them, you come away. They do things that are unbelievable, astronomically good, and you come away feeling like, hey, I want to make some music, and I would like people to come away from listening to the Tiger Club like, wow, that was good. I feel like I listened to a really good piece of music, and it lightened my heart. It's the same thing as a good movie, it made me forget my troubles, all those cliches that they talk about with, say, Depression era entertainment. It's entertainment is always the same. It's entertainment serves a timeless function to take people out of themselves and then allow them to come back into themselves feeling better and more, you know, ready to face reality than they were before, I guess.
Check out the band at their official website, www.tigerclubband.com. From their album, Mephisto Island, here is The Tiger Club, once again with Order of the Seeing Eye. That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Baxter Robertson of the Tiger Club for his time and his music, and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.